Let's open up our Bibles then. We'll appreciate those good songs. Wasn't that a blessing? Amen. And you got your Bible? Let's open up over to the book of Hebrews. And we'll be looking in chapter number 3 tonight. Book of Hebrews chapter number 3. And you able to find your place, let's stand. We give reverence to the reading of the Word of God. I'm sure glad to be here tonight. I'm glad you're here. I thank God for what I've already felt in my heart. Man, what a blessing. And I'll tell you, I want Rick to know just about anything he does to honor the Lord helps me. Amen. And I don't know if it helps y'all, but it helps me. I go back to when we was in the old building, and I'd stand. You've heard me tell this, but I'd stand and preach, and look like he wanted to kill me the whole time I'd stand and preach. And then he got saved. Boy, what a difference salvation makes. And I appreciate takes care of the prayer room, takes care of the church, and just I want him to, not him, but the Lord doing it through him and him being an obedient vessel. Amen. Amen. Book of Hebrews chapter number 3, and we'll look in just a little text. You hear me say all the time, Hebrews just a great, great place, and any place is good. We'll start reading in verse number 7. And we'll read down there a little bit. You pray for us, Lord. Help us tonight. Verse 7, the Bible says, "Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will, hear his voice. Harden not your hearts as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works for 40 years. Wherefore, I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart. They have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ. We hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. While it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation." Heavenly Father, I bow my head before you tonight. And Lord, I'm sure thankful to get to be back in the house of God. I'm thankful, Lord, for what you've done for us this morning. I'm glad for what you've done for us this afternoon. And to God this evening, I thank you already. And the Lord, been stirred my heart for everything that you've done through your people. I thank you, God, that you move on people and put songs in their mouth, put testimonies on their lips, and put praise in their heart. I'm thankful for the gathering of them. I'm thankful, God, that you give us one more opportunity to gather in the house of God and the Lord to get away from the world for just a moment of time and to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. And God, I pray that you'd help us be mindful again tonight. And God, we did not come to impress men. And Lord, we did not come, God, to be an entertainer. But Father, to stand where we stand and to declare what thus saith the Word of God. I pray God should help us and to say only those things that ought to be said and to God to refrain from those that talk. I pray God may the Holy Ghost of God have seasoned the words and deal in hearts tonight. In Christ's name I do pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. Again, we're interested in this book of Hebrews and a very interesting book. And you've got the Apostle Paul, and he's dealing with folks that they came right up to the door, and some of them have even made professions of faith, but in their heart they are unbelievers. I want you to notice in verse 10 how the Bible says it like this. He said, "Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart." I want to go on record as saying this. Ain't an awful lot of people that have made a profession with their lips but have no profession of the real faith. Ain't an awful lot of folks today that seem like no matter where you go, that the name of God is on everybody's lip. They talk about God this, and they talk about God that. But when it comes down to a right relationship through the Lord Jesus Christ, they do not have that. Amen. I want you to notice, thank God. I got to thinking about three different hearts. heart. As a matter of fact, I made mention of one of them today. I thought about this. I thought about you find there's an error in some folks' heart. At Matthew chapter 7, verse 22, we find there's unfaithful heart. About this, these folks used to use that verse to terrify me whenever I was a young man. Or it used to terrify me. How's that? At verse 22, that stand up. And that say, many shall say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord. And that say, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? He said, then I'll profess to them, I never knew you, ye that work iniquity. And depart from me. Or ye depart from me, ye that work iniquity. And so this is what they'd say. They'd say, there's no way there's some folks going to call on his name. Yeah, but that's not what that verse teaches, amen. That verse there teaches that there's some folks have trusted in what they've done and to try to get them to heaven. They say, Lord, have we not? Have we not? Have we not? They say, look at what we've done. Yeah, but thank God I'm going to heaven. And not because of we, but because of he, amen. I'm going, thank God. And because there's a day, a place, and a time and that I trust in Christ and to him alone. And not the way I prayed. And not how I held my mouth. And not water baptism. And not good works, thank God. I trusted in Christ and Christ alone, amen. I'd say this, there's a lot of folk. They've got an unfaithful heart. And they're still trusting what they've done. Hey, folks come in, thank God, listen. I was talking to a fella one time and he said this. He said, I come in, I give a little bit to the church. He said, I feel like that'll keep me right between me and God. Amen. Hell, you can keep you filthy lucre. God don't need it. Amen. He owns the cattle on both sides. I mean, thank God on 1,000 hills and on both sides of the river. He's not interested in what you got. He's interested in who you are. Amen. I'll say this, friend. I thought about unfaithful heart. And then I thought about an unloving heart. Hey, so Lord, I said this and this morning. But it bears repeating tonight. Hey, an awful lot of folks that they believe like the devils believe. In James chapter 2, that said the devils believe and tremble. You say, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And so do they. Amen. And you say, I believe he died on the cross. And so do they. Thank God. And you say, I believe he raised on the third day. And guess who knows that better than you. Amen. And so do they. Amen. Hey, you say, what's the difference? Hey, have never trusted in Christ. They've never rested on Christ. They have no affections for Christ. I go on record as saying this. It concerns me. And folks say, yeah, I got saved on April the 1st in 1973. But I've never cared about the Lord. I've never had no affections for Christ. I've never done none of those things. And listen, thank God I would be concerned if you're really saved. Amen. Amen. Thank God. I'm simply saying this, these folks, that Christ means absolute nothing to them. Their trip to the altar means something. Their confession means something. But they never did leave with Christ. And it's evident. Amen. He don't mean anything to them. He'll use his name in vain. He'll talk bad about him. He'll cuss him a little bit. He'll say whatever they want to say. But I'm telling you, thank God for those that believe he's precious. Amen. That's what Peter said about it. He said he's precious. Amen. And so we find an unfaithful heart and an unloving heart. But right here you find the Bible said in verse number 12, there's those with an unbelieving heart. Oh, listen, these folks, no doubt, in our midst, thank God. Hey, Apostle Paul is dealing with a great mixed multitude. He's got some that they believe and to thank God they're doing well. He's got others that they say they believe, but they are not what they say they are. Hey, listen, we'd be deceived if we thought they wasn't folks here tonight. And to thank God that in their heart they do not really believe. Hey, profess with their mouth. Hey, but listen, it takes just one quick look on their search engine and day after day, and you'd find out right real quick that what they say and what they are is two different things. Amen. Oh, listen, friend. But here's the message tonight. I want you to watch what he said in verse 13. He said, but exhort one another daily, while it's called today. Lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. I want to preach on this simple thought tonight. I'll make some things we ought to make our mission. And some things we ought to make our mission. I like what the Apostle Paul said. If you notice the Apostle Paul, when he's getting ready to check out and go home, and before he does, he goes around and he strengthens all the churches. He tries to encourage them. I got thinking the other day, I woke up, Brother Dustin, and I thought something must be wrong with me. I bet for the last month and a half that I've done more encouraging in the last month and a half in this pulpit than I have in 10 years. Amen. Hey, listen, I don't know what's wrong, but I'm just going to try to mind the Lord and keep on encouraging as long as that's what the Lord had me to do. It's not even been stern encouragement. It's just been pure encouragement. Amen. Here's what the Bible said. We ought to exhort one another while it's called today. You know what that means? Thank God. That means we ought to make it our mission. I don't know. Look here. You ain't got to go to Africa. How to be on the mission field, friend. Hey, you ain't got to go to Zimbabwe or Tanzania or Haiti. There's plenty of folks right around you tonight that could use you getting on the mission field and making it your mission. That'll be a blessing to them. Amen. Let me say it like this. Has anybody in here feel like, wouldn't it be a blessing if you got a little bit of encouragement along the way? Amen. Y'all like that or not? Amen. Ain't nobody in here said, oh, no, preacher, I don't ever want to be encouraged. I hate that encouragement. Amen. I just like y'all leave me alone. Ain't nobody feels that way. And thank God, look here, friend. Everybody under the sound of my voice that needs to be encouraged in the Lord. Amen. And so I think we ought to make it our mission. If you know everybody desires that, everybody needs that, thank God. It ought to be on our hearts to do it. I'd say this first of all. Hey, submission that ought to be acquired. Notice what he said in verse number 13. He said, but exhort. That is my task. It is exhortation. You know what that word exhort means? It means, thank God, to urge, to go on. It means, thank God, it's a driving. It is to incite unto action. Amen. And I got to thinking about different things today. This is how the Lord teaches us this thing ought to go. Stand up, Dustin. This is literally what the word encouragement means. It means, thank God, that somebody ought to be right here behind him and push him the whole way and say, man, Dustin, you've come a mighty long ways. I remember having a conversation with Kayla saying, I don't know how in the world this man's going to preach. Hey, you can't hear nothing that he says. And then, thank God, listen. And now the Lord's made him a preacher. Well, look, friend, and a mighty good one at that. Amen. And now look here, friend. It's not to say, all right, Dustin, you've arrived now, son. No, it's to grab and say, look here. Hey, some more land. Hey, some more. There's some further to go. And when he gets right here, it's to say, come on, thank God. Hey, some more to go. Hey, look here, friend. It's my responsibility as your preacher to keep one hand on your back and say, let's go for the glory of God. He'll say, I'd like to rest. It ain't time to rest, thank God. Hey, look here, friend. It's time to go on for the glory of God. Amen. Amen. Thank God. It's our responsibility to encourage each other. And you say, well, how do you do it? I tell you what I like to say. I like to say, what are you studying on? Amen. That's the way I encourage. Thank God. And the Bible said in Hebrews 10:24, and provoke one another to love and to good works. That's my job, man. Amen. That's to say, hey, brother, man. Thank God. Look here, friend. And whenever I was a young preacher, Joe, I'd sit there and I thank God for it. Me and Brother Delmer can relate a little more to this than maybe the rest of them. And most stern preachers, they wanted you to half think you hated them, amen, didn't they? Or they hated you, I mean. And just stare at you. And now look here, they would never say good or not good. They would never let you know if they was behind you or not. And just stare at you. Is that right, Jesse? Amen. But thank God I made it my mission to exhort one another. I don't ever want our preachers to think, hey, Brother Wayne, look here. And you stand up from your seat and get to preaching the gospel. I wish you'd do it every service. Amen. Thank God. Praise God.
up, Brother Matt, when you get fired up. I wish you'd do it every service, amen. How you ain't gonna say, well, I done it Sunday morning. I don't want to get in Brother Kevin's way. I tell you what y'all do, just let a rip, tater chip for the glory of God, amen. That's what I think about it. Just mind God, amen. We ought to be exhorted. I think the lay people ought to be exhorted. I think, thank God, the folks in the church ought to have some exhortation. That is my task. But then I thought about this. Notice he said, but exhort, and I find my target. And the Bible says one another. I don't even got to wonder who he wants me to encourage. And thank God, listen, you know who you ought to encourage? He said one another, amen. And guess who that is, thank God. That's everybody sitting next to you. That's folks sitting around you. Wouldn't it be a blessing? Hey, look here, friend. Had to get some encouragement. That's what they done in Africa. Oh, Pastor Katai done it like this. That old, Brother Bobby, that old little preacher from down there, he'd take me to somebody's house and he'd say, this is a widow in our church. Been going through a hard time. Said her kids aren't going. He'd say, give her a word of encouragement. I'd say, do what now? Come again. He'd say, take the Bible and give her a word of encouragement. And that's what we do with it. We'd just rear back and I'd say, thank God. Hey, keep on keeping on. I'd get to talking about John 14. It always helps me. And let not your heart be troubled. And believe in God, believe also in me. And my Father's house are many mansions. And then we'd leave from that house. And we'd go to the next house. And he'd say, this right here is a lady. And her husband don't go. And said, but she's a faithful member. Said, give her a word of encouragement. And we'd just take off quoting Bible to her. And thank God, listen. I'm saying this. It'll help you to encourage somebody in the Lord. Amen. Oh, hear me, friend. I thank God that our target's acquired. I thank God that we know who we're supposed to do it. Now listen to me. If we know what's ought to be done, and we know what we're supposed to do, and the question becomes, how come we don't do that? You reckon? You know, it don't take nothing to encourage nobody. It don't make your light any less bright. It doesn't just look here, friend. It don't take away from what God's doing in your life and to try to be a blessing to somebody else. I'll tell you, listen, thank God. I ain't got to thinking about this. He even tells us how often to do it. Amen. He says, do it. He said, but exhort one another today while it's called. Today, it's daily. Amen. I thank God. This ain't 11:29. I'm not doing a five and dime. Amen. We don't just encourage each other for a day or two. We ought to try to be a blessing to people from now till we reach heaven's fair shore. Amen. Don't you think that's right? I tell you what, encouraged me to preach sometime if some folks wouldn't go to sleep. Amen. That encouraged my heart. Amen. Praise God, I said that. Amen. I meant it. Thank God, what a blessing. Amen. That encouraged my heart. Thank God. And just to see some folks act like they enjoy preaching. Amen. Oh, yes. Amen. I mean, it's encouragement. And so what you do is you find 10 or 15 people or 25 that are enjoying it, and you preach to them. Amen. And you say, I hope everybody else gets something good. Amen. I'm going to preach to folks that are enjoying preaching. Amen. I'm saying this, that's our task. A mission acquired. A mission he has acquired. That's what God told us to do. And he told them all to do it. And he told us to do it daily. Amen. Thank God. I'm glad. Look here, friend. Find somebody and encourage the daylights out of them, wouldn't you? I got thinking about different folks that encouraged me, and I ain't got time, and I'm not trying to leave nobody out. Pap, you one of them. Old Pap come by sometimes. He'll drive plumb to Scott County. Come to the drugstore sometime. Swing in and say, hey, I just wanted you to know I loved you, and I appreciated the preaching last night. And the look here, and it's usually, and I laugh a lot. I listen, mine and his conversations, and they just make me happy. Amen. Thank God. I'm saying this. That didn't it cost him $5, but it meant an awful lot to me. Amen. Hey, look here, and that's all of us. Everybody in here be a blessing to each other. You ain't got to be a blessing to me. Find somebody else and encourage their hearts. Amen. Do you think that'd be good? Oh, yes. Listen, that's what the Bible is. I'm going to encourage you tonight if I can, for the Lord to help us. I want you to understand that it's a mission acquired. But I want you to watch, here's the mission applied. Let me give you four things out of the text. Chapter number 2, watch what the Bible says. I'm going to give you four things here and I'll be done. That's just shortly. I might give you 32. Notice verse 1. He says, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. That first thing I'd encourage you to do is to have sure hands. Amen. And look here, friend. When the Word of God comes, you ought to hang on to it, thank God, and for just what it is. And the Word of God, you may not need it today, but you better hold on to it. You'll need it before it's over with. Amen. I understand. And not everybody today. It's amazing to me. I stand in the house of God, and at my mic, these times I walk out, and there'll be some folks come by, and they'll say, hey. They'll say, Brother Dustin, and they're talking to me, though. They'll say, Brother Dustin, they say, it's mighty tough for you tonight, wasn't it? And then the next person, he comes by, and he shakes your hand, and he says, man alive. He said, boy, the Lord was helping me. And you get to thinking, was we in the same church? Amen. That half the church thinks is the worst message, and the other half church thinks it's the best message. You know what the difference is? And not every message, look here, you ain't got to be selfish about it. Not every message is to you right now. Amen. But if you'll get a hold of them with your hands, that God will help you with it to grow when the time comes. Amen. Oh, yes. Amen. And you say, why ought we hold on to it? I found this in Matthew chapter 13. And the Bible says whenever those folks hear it and they don't understand it, that the devil comes in, and verse 19, I think it is, and he snatches it away. Amen. And so you better hold on to it. Hey, somebody after it. Amen. And then I thought about over there in the book of James, the Bible teaches us, hey, some folks, they hear it, but they don't never do it. He said, be not a forgetful hearer of the word, but a doer. Amen. Hey, so a lot of folks hear it, but not everybody's interested in doing it. Amen. Thank God, listen. It'll help you to remember it when you apply it. Amen. Oh, yes. I say this, first thing y'all do, make sure you got sure hands. I mean, when the Word of God comes in Isaiah 59, I think it is, it says that truth is falling in the streets. That is to say, they didn't even value it. Hey, let the Word of God come. Hey, held on to it, and they just let it fall to the ground. I mean, what a terrible time it is, and the Word of God's falling in the streets because nobody values what it is. I'd say this to you, friend. You find, first of all, you ought to have sure hands. Make sure you hold on to the Word of God. But then, second thing, I want to encourage your heart. I want to encourage you not to just have sure hands. I want to make sure our church has a soft heart. Oh, listen, you know what happens if we're not careful? And we'll get a little hardness, a little bitterness will show up. Matter of fact, I got thinking about this, Joey, and I thought about the only thing I've ever found that grows real good in a hard heart. It's the root of bitterness, amen. And Hebrews chapter number 12, and these folks come in, amen. I'm talking about, thank God, listen, they are bitter as the day is long. That bitter set up in their hard heart. I'd like to have soft heart toward each other, wouldn't you? I mean, look here, the Bible said, I teach my boys one of the easiest verses to say and the hardest to apply is be ye kind one to another. Boy, that's easy. But that next part says, a tender hearted, have forgiven one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, have forgiven you. Amen. And boy, I want to keep a soft heart to people. Amen. I want to keep a soft heart in the house of God, don't you? Amen. I'd say this to you, friend. If we're not careful, our heart will start getting hard. And then you know what happens? All that unforgiveness comes back. I got thinking about this. You know what they used to say? They'd say, here's how you know you've forgiven, if you have forgotten. But I found that's absolutely not true. Amen. Hey, you can't forget. Look here. If somebody done something to you, it's hard to forget it. Amen. But I'll tell you, now listen. If you don't listen to nothing else I'd say, would you listen to me for 35 seconds? And this 35-second little clip will help you in life. You know how you know when you've really forgiven somebody? It's when you can remember the situation where they hurt you without resentment, hatred, or bitterness. You know right then, I have given that thing to the Lord, and thank God I've gotten victory over that. Amen. You look back and say, yeah, they hurt me, but I'm not bitter about it no more. Yeah, they harmed me, but I don't resent them no more. And when that happens, thank God, now you've got victory. Amen. And we've got far too many. I'll tell you what the Holy Ghost done for some of you right together. He put his finger on a situation, and you know good and well you can't visit that without it. Amen. You say, I'm not there yet, preacher. I know that, but I'm encouraging you. I got my hand on your back. I'm pushing you as hard as I can. I'm saying it's time to get encouraged. I thank God we ought to go a little further down the road. I give that thing to God. Amen. And go serve God. Amen. You say, what happens if I don't? Well, the Bible says, where in the root of bitterness is, there'll be many that'll be defiled. I'll tell you what you do. Don't deal with that hard heart. Just let it get worse. Set in the house of God, turn to stone. That's between you and God. You say, I'm going to sit here and it don't matter what's going to happen. Nothing's going to move me. Look here, friend, I'm not your enemy. Thank God. I ain't even trying to move you. I'm trying to preach what God gave me. It'll take the Holy Ghost to move you. Amen. I'll tell you what you do. You just sit there and let that heart get harder and harder and harder. And one day you'll look back at the end of your life and you'll say, I'll tell you what my hard heart did. It defiled everybody around me. Amen. I'd encourage you tonight, if you ain't got a soft heart, you got a soft, boy, I feel the Holy Ghost right there. Feel resistance on it. That's usually where you ought to preach at. Get resistance. Amen. You say, preacher, look here, listen to me. Thank you, Lord. I was thinking about this the other day. You go look this up. Hey, this old submarine, this will get somewhere. You just got to hang tight with me, all right? Hey, a submarine called the USS Tang in World War II. The USS Tang was the most successful submarine that's ever been. It sunk over 33 warships, sunk more tonnage than any other warship in World War II. The last mission it went on, it had 8 torpedoes. And whenever it went and sailed into Japan, you know what it did, Matt? It fired off 7 of them torpedoes, and it hit 7 targets, and it sunk 7 ships. But when it fired off that 8th torpedo, Jesse, something malfunctioned, and that torpedo turned back around, and that torpedo that was aimed for the enemy came back and sunk their own submarine. Hey, listen, they were not sank by somebody else. They were sank by their own self. I want you to listen to me. You know what's the fastest way to shipwreck your own spiritual life? It's to stay hard-hearted. Amen. I'm telling you, thank God, you ain't even hurting the people that you're mad at. Amen. They're sitting right now shouting her out. And thank God, happy as they can be, while you're sitting here miserable, and that torpedo is going to sink your ship. Amen. You got to let it go. Thank God. I feel like that was all right there.
Amen.
I encourage you to have sure hands. I'd encourage you to have a soft heart. Amen. I feel like that's right. Don't you feel like that's right? I'd encourage you to have a strong mind. Amen. You know what you do. Listen. This blesses my heart. You say, preacher, I'm about ready to give up. Well, I'll tell you what the Bible says in Hebrews 12. Let's start in verse 2. That's a good one. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Don't y'all like that verse? Who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now set down at the right hand throne of God. Boy, I like that next verse though. It says, for consider him had endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your mind. Amen. I say this, thank God. At some point in time, we got to make up our mind. Hey, we're going to go on and serve God no matter what happens. Amen. You say, I don't feel like it. Feeling like it ain't got nothing to do with it. I'm going to serve God. Amen. Thank God. Listen, I'm going to tell you this. 5:30 in the morning when my alarm goes off, I ain't going to feel like going to work. But in my mind, I know I got bills to pay. And so my mind's going to tell my body, get your sorry butt up out of the bed and go get ready and go to work. Amen. And I want to tell you this, thank God. Whenever it comes to going on with God, these times my flesh says, man, this is difficult. This is too hard. But my mind says to my flesh, God's done too much for you to sit down now. Amen. He's done helped you too many times for you to sit under a juniper tree and pout for the next 40 years. Go on and serve God. Amen. Say, boy, it's hard. It ain't as hard as the cross. Y'all, preacher, you don't know the weight I carry. Was it heavier than the sins of the world?
Yeah.
Praise God. I'm telling you, about to preach myself happy again tonight.
I'm saying this. You say, preacher, it's difficult. Is it as hard as, you know, having every joint out? Having your hands nailed to the cross? Is it that kind of hard? These folks act like it is.
You're right.
I say, preacher, if you only knew the cross I carried. And then I look at them, they got something like this on their back.
Yeah.
Yeah, brother. Say, oh, it's heavy. I'm preaching to Kevin. You put yourself in there. If you need to be in there, you put yourself. But I'll say, oh, God. And we'll get to the judgment seat of Christ, and he'll say, I gave you a toothpick. Set that thing on your shoulders, and you complained about it like I just laid 4 tons on your back. So now let's look at what my son done for you. So, boy, I'll tell you, when you get weary and faint in your mind, it's consider him that endured such contradiction. See if that don't strengthen your mind a little bit. It helps mine. Praise God. Helps my mind. Amen. I want to encourage you to do this. I want to encourage you to have straight feet. Y'all listen to me real good right here. Let's look what the Bible says on this matter. Look at Hebrews 12, will you? Sure hands. Have a soft heart. Have a strong mind. I want to encourage everybody at Amazing Grace Baptist Church under the sound of my voice tonight, make sure you got straight feet. Here's what the Bible says, Hebrews chapter 12. Let me get there. You're already there. Let me get there. Look at what the Bible says in Hebrews 12, verse number 12. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. Verse 13 says, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. I'd say this to you, thank God. If you're saved by the grace of God, make sure the paths that you're walking are straight. Amen.
Amen.
Y'all think that's right? You think that's right, don't you, Miss Irene? Amen. I feel like if there's anything that we need in our day, it's Christians that are walking straight. Now this is what he said. He said, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way. That which is lame, that don't necessarily mean they can't walk. It just means that they don't have a perfect walk. Might have a limp. Jordan, what it's referring to is folks that just can't walk like you walk. I'll tell you, if I could get a little better with it and just bring it down just a little bit more, what it's referring to is those little ones coming in behind you. Their walk's not hardly as strong as your walk is. And I'll tell you this, if you don't walk straight in front of them, it'll turn the lame ones out of the way. I wish I had a little more help on that.
Yeah.
Look here, friend. Y'all do whatever you want to do with this. It does me absolutely no good to stand up here and preach behind this pulpit if whenever I go home if my paths aren't straight. I'll tell you what you got permission to do. Interview my wife and my boys. Interview them. Ask them about it. Now, how does your dad walk at home? And if when I'm at home, I'm mad all the time and grumpy, I'm using bad language, you know what you ought to do? You ought to vote me out. If ain't no prayer at home and ain't no study in the Bible and not trying to love on people and I ain't trying to love on them, you go talk to them. If I'm mean to my wife and I'm putting my wife down all the time, Brother Wayne, you know what ought to happen? You ought to vote me out. So I want somebody whose paths are straight. For far too long, we're far too impressed with folks who can stand up with oratory skills. But I'll tell you what, listen, I'll tell you what'll help us. Walk straight, amen? I want to encourage you, is your walk straight? Could I follow you all the way to heaven if I was lost? Listen to me. Could I follow you and get to heaven? Or would your life lead me to hell? I mean, let's be honest. You know right now. Right down in here, there's something speaking to you. Now I'm asking you, if I follow you, would I make it? There's somebody that is. I'll give you this last thing and I'm done. Stand to your feet. That way you know I'm done. I've got a mission acquired. I've got a mission applied. But thank God for the day there'll be a mission accomplished.
Amen.
You know what Paul did with his dying breath?
He encouraged Timothy.
That's right.
And he encouraged Mark. Mark. You know who else he encouraged? He encouraged me. Amen. Yeah. Second Timothy encourages me, don't it encourage you? Amen. I'm just saying this, thank God. Listen, all the way up to his death. And when he died, mission accomplished. Paul had encouraged everybody to go do something for God all the way up until the day he died. And I want to encourage our church to do the same. I ask you four things simply. Alyssa, come. Josh, Donnie, whoever's going to come sing. I ask you four simple questions. Are you listening? What are you doing with the Word of God? Do you got sure hands? Number two, do you have a soft heart? Is it soft? You got a strong mind? You got straight feet? If you don't, I'd encourage you tonight. Let's get that thing fixed. Let's get that thing fixed. Say plays, whatever's going on.